Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 437, School of Oneself. So what I've been experiencing kind of felt like school, but in a good way. Never liked school. I don't think I ever have moments where I'm like, oh, I learned that in school and applied it. Ever. But from 20 to 50, what I learned, went through, experienced, I just totally think should have been in a class at some point. But now it's enjoyable. Like the book I'm reading affects me and I take notes. The TV shows I watch affect me and I take notes. The movies I watch affect me and I take notes. And I'm in this, you know, hunter-gatherer, you know, about Tom. Like, how do I make me a better me? That's what I'm into. That's what occupies my time. But it's not because I'm stressed out and you know, like, I got to do this. Like, nah, I like it. All my time and energy is going into me. So I'm the sole recipient of that. Therefore, my path is getting brighter. I'm gaining clarity, shifting perspective, and, you know, constantly being affected by the things around me. And I feel, again, once your vibration rises, you attract things that have that same vibrational frequency. And it's, you know, you go to a higher level, you attract higher level things. So like for me to, you know, watch a movie or watch a show and be just completely moved where I'm taking notes, it just thrills me. Like, I love my path. I love what's happening. And I love the most what I'm learning about myself. The initial phase of stopping and pausing, you know, you start seeing all the things you want to change. You start seeing the things you don't like. You start seeing things you did in the past. You start seeing things that you didn't thought you'd be. And you got to get through all of that. But when you get to the point where you're, you know, in charge of that space between your ears, it's kind of like you can do just about anything. And then the biggest challenge is going to be working on you. And it's not the grind, work hard, beat yourself up kind of because you got to prove something. It's letting go. It's allowing. It's embracing. It's walking slow. It's staying present, being thankful. And there's an abundance of joy on that path. But, you know, it's this picture of joy is there will be beautiful moments, but there will be moments that aren't, because suffering is along that same path, because that's what life is. So I just got this really balanced, well-rounded look at my life, and you know, little things are moving me in a huge way, and those are the notes I take, and those are the notes that I share with you, my listeners. So thank you for listening. Anybody wants to chat, share a story, share anything, please holler at me anytime. A bunch of ways to get a hold of me on social media, and would love to hear from you. So enjoy. I wouldn't say it's procrastinating, but I was going to start recording this podcast probably 40 minutes ago, and it's just, there's not a lot of pieces, but there's just something about I wasn't getting the flow of, okay, start here, go to there, then that, boom, and I was looking at the clock, I'm like, tap, yeah, Tom, you should just start. No one cares, Tom. No one cares. So I was chatting with Scotty Mosher, and I just finished watching a show that I kind of binged watched over a few days. And then I saw this quote, and it was from Nietzsche. And it said, life is suffering. To survive, one must find meaning in that suffering. And Scott, I've talked a lot about, you know, accepting that, you know, suffering, death, that's part of life. You just, you know, you can't run away from these things that are just inevitably part of what, you know, you're experiencing. You know, you can't get this without that. You know, it's all or none. And again, I might have heard that quote 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, whatever, and it may not have resonated like it did, but it really hit me. Because it's like, oh, because if you get that and you grasp it, you're not fearing death and change, it's a lot cooler ride. And then you're like, oh, and then again, on that side, you can find meaning in things because you have that clarity. And I was telling Scott, you know, again, with the show and this quote and the book I'm reading, I go, I feel like I'm in school, like for the first time where I'm enjoying it. And then I was actually, I think, sharing that story to a client. And I said, you know, it's like the school of Tom. Like, that's what I'm learning about. Like, when I think of the important lessons I learned from 20 to 50, none of that was talked about or mentioned in my life by anyone. All this stuff was brand new. Stress, anxiety, fear, doubt, heartache, pain, loss. I mean, just everything. You know, again, as a family, we weren't chatting about stuff, but in school, you know, math, science, and you know, whatever, it's just trippy to me. Because I think about how much stuff I use that I learned in high school. And I'm sure there's a lot of it that I'm not aware of. But I would have loved to have had one class that dealt with any of the things that I had to deal with from 20 to 50. But like, I'm enjoying it. Like, I tell people, I'm working more on me now than I've ever done before. I'm not stressed. I'm not worried. I'm not critical. I'm just that. It's what I'm into. Like, all my time and energy goes into me. I'm the sole recipient. I feel great. I like this. I like it. I'm going to keep doing it. So I'm just, you know, vibrating at this level where it's like, yeah, oh, what about that? Why are you doing that? Oh, what if you took that out, Tom? Wait, well, hey, what's important? Da, 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 da. Hey, what if you do that? I mean, again, I just, and I'm going to get into my main topic today, is the show I watched. And I mentioned before, I watched this movie, Alpinist. It's on Netflix. And I watched it 3 times. I took notes. I told people about it. I mean, I'm not going to go start doing what that dude did, but what I admired, liked, respected, what hit me, resonated with me, I'm going to try to draw from that. And I never forget that movie. I mention, oh, I watched this movie 3 times. I mean, I mention it all the time. And then here was the next one. And actually on Hulu, a show called Alone. And I'm not a big survival show guy. I don't think I've ever watched a survivor show in my life. But I've often thought about my own ability, like when I see people go out, make fire and find water and boil water and, you know, camp and, you know, just kind of like somewhat just be self-reliable out in the wilderness. Like, I'm like, you know, I would, that's something I kind of admire. Like, that'd be cool. You know, if you could just, you know, go camping for the weekend, you could make your own fire, you could, you know, whatever you need, just really, really self-reliant. I mean, I think I obviously go camping, you know, to a campground and bring food and do all that. But just a little bit more, you know, where you're on your own kind of thing. Well, that's what hit me about this show. I mean, you had to film your experience, and that was one of the drags. Like, I think it increasingly got heavy, but the camera, what do you call it? It's a case, a camera case, like 45 pounds, and then eventually got up like 65 pounds. But you had to carry that, you know, so with all the stuff that you were, you know, lugging around, you had to carry all this camera gear, and then you had to film yourself and set up tripods and learn how the camera worked. And, you know, so that became, as I learned, like almost another thing, like weather, predators, lack of food, water, shelter was, oh yeah, I got to do the camera stuff. All of that involved with the camera was a thing. So I don't know which thing it was exactly, but I just was so into it. But I soon realized what the most captivating thing was. It all comes down to controlling one's mind. And it was just, you know, again, what am I talking about with every client, you know, working on myself? The space between your ears, it's all there. That's why I can sit in this apartment right now that I moved in 9 years ago and completely have a different experience. Nothing, I mean, yeah, there's some items that have changed, but it's still in this little same location. But I have less family, less friends, less money, less income, less, I do less, I you know, I don't go places as much. Well, how could that dude be better? Space between my ears. So just basic, you get out into the wilderness and it is water, food, shelter, fire. Maybe not necessarily in that order, but those are the four things. Shelter, fire, because you need fire for, you know, to stay warm. If it's cold, boil water, cook your food, you know. So the last one is, you know, start gathering food. But you get that. But as soon as people got that, got those things, that's what it came down to. Because some people left their spouse, left family, you know, kids, and you're not talking to anyone except the camera. And for a, I'm thinking a majority of these people, they'd never really been alone. Now, you're alone in a big, vast place, and you're alone in that weather, and you're alone throughout the night, and you're alone with those predators. So it's different than, you know, Tom being alone in Hollywood, you know, but it's that still, you know, once you get to a certain point, and this is the best example. This guy said, with no distractions, no phone, no computer, no friends, no anything, no job, you're faced with yourself and being alone with your thoughts. Like, these are the things which is hitting these people. Like, I had no idea. Like, I get having, you know, two children and loving them and seeing them every day and then being, you know, 20, 30 days not talking to them or your spouse. Like, I understandably, that I get it. I get that. But when someone else would go, okay, I'm going to think about my family, and that's why I'm going to stay the longest, because the person who stayed the longest would win $500,000, which is a bunch of money. And none of these people, you know, that were competing, you know, they're not all that well off. You know, they're somehow related to, like, survival, outdoorsy, bushcraft kind of lifestyles, you know, and that's why they were good at this stuff. But alone, by themselves, no one to talk to, forced to deal with themselves, no interaction with other people. I mean, you can't run away from yourself. You can't run away from your thoughts because there's no distractions. There's no internet. There's no music. There's no TV. There's nothing to distract you from your thoughts. And this one, and this was the other, just like, there were just moments. I was like, oh my God, this is just, and that's why I started taking notes. This guy, as soon as he got there, he was super handy and creative. The dude could, like, make anything. And they all got 10 items. Like, I don't know how many there were to pick from, but you got to pick your 10 items. And one was, you know, axe, knife, etc. So this guy, you know, made his shelter, was really bomb. Made a table, made a desk, made a foot pedal for a hand wash system. You know, it was amazing what he was making, but almost the moment he was done making stuff, he tapped out, which they call it, which you call, everybody got like a satellite phone, you push a button and boom, you got rescued. And that was, I was just like, okay, that dude, you know, is that guy in real life. I'm going to stay busy, stay distracted, hate sitting still. I hate being alone. I don't want to think about, you know, and he's not consciously going, I don't want to think about my thoughts. I don't want to be alone with my thoughts. I don't want to be, and he's not, he's never been faced with that. So he doesn't even know what he doesn't want, but he knows I'm a busy guy. He doesn't know why he's a busy guy. Why I don't want to just sit there. Why? Well, and again, that's like horrible for some. You're just going to sit there and do nothing. You should be doing something. But then the other thing happened. Well, pretty soon, everybody's low on calories. So everybody's talking about conserving calories. No one's talking about grinding. I'm going to do this today. And a majority of people are like, okay, what do I need to do? That's where my energy's going. I'm not going to do extra stuff because that's, you know, burned calories. And that was the whole battle, you know, because sooner or later, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 days into it, weather changing, getting colder, animals disappearing, food disappearing, predators getting hungrier, you know, it would just get gnarlier and gnarlier and gnarlier. But like I said, when that one, it was almost like I laughed. He was like, okay, I'm done building everything. Time to go. Click. Like it was almost that quick because he was just like, as soon as it slowed down a little, like I think he just had that sense of, oh, I'm just, there's no way, no way, no way. I'm not going to, and out and gone. And, you know, that was one of the dudes going, I'm going to stay here. I'm so good. I know I'll win. Like, I know I will win the money. And that was the other thing, people, how they spoke before the show. And I mean, again, these were outdoorsy, bushcrafty people. They weren't, let's grab someone from the city and see how they, nah, this is what these people did. But how hard it got because it was the weather, the lack of food, the isolation, not interacting with people, missing their loved ones. I mean, it just mounted and it just mounted and it just mounted. And again, that was one of the things where it was like the importance of moving slow. Like they even didn't say, like, I'm going to walk slow. I'm going to stay calm. You know, because just even controlling their emotions, you know, getting way, way crazy excited if they got a fish or a rabbit in their trap or whatever. And then when they get to a trap or they get to the fishing line, there's nothing there, that despair. Because as soon as you're a little cold and you're a little hungry, and they always start talking. Your brain's going, yep, call. All you got to do, push that button. 1 hour, food, shelter, warmth, loved ones. Just, it was so easy just to tap out. It's not like you were stuck there. But it was so apparent that when you got down, for whatever reason, your brain would just automatically start going, yeah, I think we should quit. Yeah, we should tap out. Yeah, you should. Yeah, it would be best if you. And they all, you know, like the people that maintained and stayed, they all had to become aware of that. Like your mind is not your friend at all. Your mind is your enemy. And there again, if you're not controlling your thoughts, that monkey mind, and that, again, that's what I've been talking about like solidly for the last year. So to see this, you know, episode after episode after episode, and then I started noticing people being thankful. Like as soon as they got there, they were thankful. And whatever food they got, they were thankful. And they were thankful for their shelter, and they were thankful for their opportunity, and they were thankful that they got to do it, and they were thankful for the struggle, and that they were thankful that they were going to be able to test, challenge themselves. They knew it wasn't going to be easy, fun, you know, unicorns and rainbows, but they were still thankful because they knew they would grow on a journey. But if it's like, oh, I'm comfortable and now I'm uncomfortable, tap. What did you learn? How did you grow? How is that different than your life you've lived? And some people had endured being alone in the woods and isolation, but maybe like with, you know, like a friend or a family member, not alone, alone. And some people had done it alone, alone, but had food or had, you know what I mean? There were just always these little bitty things where some people would do good and some people, you know, certain things would resonate. But you started like almost seeing certain people rise to the top. Like you just like, I'm going to win and that's a fact. And then they would show, you know, play their own, you know, or show their footage, and they'd be, you know, complaining and getting upset and getting mad and getting frustrated and, you know, very, very emotional. And it was just battles, 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 battles with themselves. And you're like, okay, now it's about the journey. We got this person fighting everything, every day. And you got this other person that's walking around, you know, being just completely thankful. And this one guy, it was like a reunion show. He goes, well, it's just like life, you know, because he cut himself and like day two had to go. And there was a guy going, I'm going to be here for at least 90 days. You know, people like had a plan. And it's like, yeah, and I think somebody, I don't know if they quoted Tyson. I think they did. And then I heard someone else say it on another show, but they said, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. I said, yeah, like you don't always get what you want. And he got cut, had to tap, boom, gone. And there was this episode that was called, or a season, it was called Redemption, and they brought 10 people that had participated before in the show, but obviously didn't win, and they were given the chance to come back and kind of, you know, redemption in any way they see, if I wanted to stay longer, or I tapped too early, or this or that, whatever the reason, if they wanted to do it, they were, you know, invited back. And there's this young girl who was impressive, and she made it, I think it was 84 days or something, and it was the record for the longest any female had stayed. So she's on the show. And she's better, and she just, you know, just like, I don't know, it just like seemed like she was even more, I think she was, like there was probably 4 or 6 years in between the seasons. So she had grown and matured, and she just seemed stronger, calmer, more confident. And, you know, she had plans to win. So she starts out, and she's there in Mongolia. Places they go are just horrible. But she's doing well, you know, shelter, fire, water, and she's just catching a lot of fish. And she's like, you know, I'm going to probably have to make a smoker. Like, that's her thought. Like, you know what? I got to store this fish. I'm going to accumulate so much fish. I'm going to keep catching fish. I'm going to make a smoker. And then she's fishing and catches a fish. And she's, you know, they're kind of reeling it in with, you know, it's what string was somewhat or some sort of string on a stick is what it is. So to reel it in, they go hand to hand or whatever. But she's got the pole and the fish is hanging, and she goes to grab it, the fish with her hand. And I don't know what happened, but the fish squirms, twists, whatever, and the hook gets lodged in the back of her hand. And not stuck a little, like it's a hook, you know, a J, and it is all like there's a quarter inch outside her skin. Like, I have no idea how it went in that far. It was ridiculous. And I completely I just turned my head. It just hit me. Because, like, the first, I was like, season or two, no one got cut or hurt. I think one guy might have fell, twisted his ankle, something like that. But also, there was a guy who got cut by an axe. And then a girl cut herself with a knife. And, that, you know, so I just hated seeing all that stuff. And then so immediately when this girl gets the hook lodged, I was like fast forwarding because I didn't want to see her playing with it, dealing with it. Long story short, she couldn't get it out, and she had to leave. It was day two. So she had the record for the longest stay for a female and the record for the shortest stay as a female. And she had to leave the first time because when you lose X amount of weight, you get right, your body mass index, BMI, gets below a certain level, they yank you for medical reasons because you're close to like organ failure and really, really bad stuff. And when people are like, hey, I'm feeling good, I'm doing good, all right, and like, okay, but you lost, you know, 40% of your body weight, your BMI is here, you're leaving, they were like, no! Like, they just kind of became one with that place, and they were in it for, you know, again, this girl was in there for like 84 days. When they yanked her, it was just horrible. And she's like, they ripped her heart out. So you see her come back for this redemption. Okay, I'm bigger, stronger, faster. I know, you know, I'm going to da-da-da-da-da, day two gone. And it's like, okay, you had a lot written down. You had big, big plans. And I think that first one, she went and she was just, well, she said in the reunion show, she was, I'm just heartbroken, like heartbroken to be pulled. and then waits how many years to go again and gets a fish hook in her hand. And like, it was a whole process. Like, it was 8 hours to get her to the nearest hospital, and it took forever to get the hook. I mean, it was just a whole, and nothing, you know, that she had written down wanted. And again, gone 2 days compared to 84, the first attempt. And, you know, again, you don't get what life, I mean, life doesn't always give you what you want. And so how you respond. And one thing I did notice, I actually never shared this with Scott, but they showed a lot of footage, so I'm assuming they showed most of what these people did. And they get wacky and crazy and, you know, do voices and dance and, you know, whatever at times in their little alone moments. But no one, like, got up and practiced meditation. And I thought, okay, you got to get food. You got to get shelter. I mean, you know, you got to stay on the, you got certain things you got to do every day. But it's like, they definitely had time. And I'm thinking, man, if someone adopted some sort of meditation practice and really controlled their mind, they would have a way better shot at, you know, leveling that roller coaster out. And again, conserving energy, conserving calories, and all that. So I said, okay. Yeah, this is just a note saying that, you know, what I'm finding, you know, I watch this movie, Alpinist, and it feeds my personal growth. And I watch this movie, this series called Alone, and it kind of feeds my personal growth. And I was like, funny how those things came in to my life. You know, you kind of, you vibrate and you attract things that, you know, have that same frequency. And or it'll resonate with you. You know, someone could have watched that show in a whole different, you know, if I was 20, watched that show and someone said, you have to watch it. I'm sure I would have resonated completely in a different way with me. But it was just kind of cool. Like, hey, you like to tell people, like, you'll find the next step. You'll find those things. If you're looking for personal growth and you want to challenge yourself, you want to grow. And that's kind of the thing I'm headed to with this episode is, I'm learning about me, and all the good is coming from within me. So I'm really kind of focused, you know, on me. And it's how I'm doing in the world and how I'm responding. And that completely fills me. And it fulfills me. And, you know, I kind of feel in a sense that I'm, you know, not surviving as I did for 48 years. I feel like I'm thriving. You know, I really feel like I'm in this great place, but I feel like I'm, again, like I said, working on myself the most and finding these, oh, I'm taking notes on a show. Oh, I'm taking notes on a movie, telling my clients about it. But that's what I'm enjoying. Totally, totally, totally enjoying. So I'm going to do this to the best of my ability. The girl that I just enjoyed, this is her goodbye clip, and I'm going to play it, and hopefully we can hear it. This is season 3, episode 9 with Allie.
I kind of decided yesterday I didn't want to leave on any other terms but feeling complete in the journey, and I do. From the beginning, I saw this experience as an opportunity to buy my land and to have this outcome of me winning. And at a certain point, I saw that I was holding too tightly to this material goal. But when we hold so tightly to something, we don't allow other things to come in. I had to shed that. And when I did, I realized it doesn't matter what the outcome to any situation is. It's about being in this moment. It's about the journey and finding a deeper sense of my own voice, finding a deeper sense of my own self-worth. And by being out here for so long, truly on your own, you develop this relationship with yourself that is so profound. And I communicate with myself in a way that I never thought possible. I only can imagine how this is going to serve me in the rest of my life.
Isn't that... I immediately sent that to Mosier, and I was just like, that is just so profound. You know, because in life, you're like always trying to get that thing, but you're squeezing so tightly that you're not allowing these other things to go. And what happened is she got bit, 3 spider bites. And she was really dope with plants and herbs and stuff. So it was like a while, but she actually healed herself, you know, internally and externally with plants and all the stuff that she had found. But it was like immediately she was like, wow, I could be going home. And she's one of those people like, no, I'm winning. I need this money. I'm going to buy this land. I'm staying here. I can do this. And she had a great attitude about it. But when the external forces, you get bit by spiders, got nothing to do with your ability to endure or last or willpower or mind control or anything. Because it was going internally. And, you know, she could feel the poison from the spiders going into her body. So to hear her go, and that's what made me realize what I was carrying and the weight of that. And when I let that go, I realized the outcome didn't matter. What was important was the journey and that moment she had there. And she went to every one of her special places and gave thanks. Like everybody, like, oh, I got cut, I got hurt, I lost too much weight, I have to leave. This woman said, I'm good, I'm going to go, I'm going to pick my time. You know, it was just enough for her. She realized that, you know, like this magical thing happened because she let go of I'm going to win. And it was this huge personal growth thing. And she's like, and now how is this going to serve me? And all of that resonated with me. Top to bottom, it was just like, that is it. How you live in the moment is going to affect how you live that next moment, and then it just keeps multiplying because you're not being distracted. You're not distracting yourself. I got this from a reality show. But the book that I've been reading, this is, I think yesterday I read this. The Buddha saw his grasping mind was the problem. He had gotten reality upside down. After years of trying to control the mind and deny the most basic needs of his body, he made a decision to stop trying to get enlightened and to simply sit down and look into his own mind in order to see what he could learn directly observing his experience in the present moment. And that is what he did under the Bodhi tree. What he discovered is that our true nature is already awake, already perfect as it is, and that what he initially sought to attain was already within him. The insight that the Buddha discovered is so simple and yet so difficult to accept. His teachings introduce us to a dormant, hidden, unrealized part of ourselves. The great paradox of the Buddhist path: we practice in order to know what we already are, therefore attaining nothing, getting nothing, going nowhere. We seek to uncover what has always been there. That could not radiate with me more. I said, once you quieted that calm, you've created this space. What happens to that space? It starts being filled with what? With the good that's lying inside of you, waiting to rise to the top. And then all of a sudden you personally are having this personal experience of, oh, hey, what's that? Oh, hey, that's new. Oh, I have this feeling. Oh, I learned this about me. Oh, I applied that. Oh, I'm experiencing that. Oh, I shared that. Oh, I feel, wow, I'm more consistent. Hey, this is kind of a pattern. I've got these tools. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep getting what I'm getting. You know, so again, you know, like that book, you know, Mosher referred to me, and, you know, I've not, you know, been Mr. Super Reader, but whenever you know, I try to sit down and read a chapter. And like yesterday I read that, I'm like, you know, that's exactly what, you know, Scott and I were talking about, exactly what the stuff I was thinking about after watching the show, notes I took, what I was sharing, you know, because I've been, you know, just today, focus on today, you know, stay present, this moment, you know, responding, choosing your thoughts. I mean, just if I got, you know, X amount of clients, it's that, you know, it's like that theme all day long. And then I'm, you know, taking notes. And then all of a sudden I got a podcast. And then I'm saying it again. And it just seems like everything around me is vibrating at the same frequency. Like, you know, like the chats I have with Scott, boom. The chats I have with my clients, boom. The movies I watch, boom. The television show I watch, boom. When I'm alone with my thoughts, boom. When I'm doing the podcast, boom. You know, it's all there, all those things. And that's my life. That's what fills my life. So I don't really have a lot of room for yesterday. I don't have a lot of room for tomorrow, which, you know, is kind of like, wow, that's even more of a bonus because I don't want to. I'm working really hard to not think about yesterday and tomorrow. So, wow, bonus that I've got this, you know, kind of added incentive or built-in kind of automatic assistance, you know, in that. And there was a moment, you know, again, with Scott and I talk about suffering, this and that, and there is a YouTube video called Denali, D-E-N-A-L-I. And it's a guy and his dog, and it's narrated through the dog's voice. The dog's telling the story, his perspective. And Scott, you know, the dog dies. I didn't know much about it, but it's phenomenal, like Scott said it was. But I just didn't want to watch it because I knew it was going to rip my heart out, and I knew I was going to cry a lot, you know, just thinking about Zen. And it was a little while later. I mean, I still loved it. It was shot beautifully. The guy's, I think he's a surfer. And so he's sponsored by Patagonia, which, you know, kind of does these, you know, made this video help him, you know, because you can tell it's shot amazing. He had people. You could just tell it wasn't him and an iPhone and his dog. But how the dog tells the story from his perspective is brilliant. And, Scott had mentioned when his last dog passed that his wife had says, you know, you don't seem as upset. And he said, because I've just been meditating on it. And then when I watched Denali, I said, you know, Scott, I get it. It's just like, you know, me and the dentist, you work on it, you'll do better. But, you know, on that day, you know, when Zen's not here, I go, it was just going to completely rip my heart out. Like, it's going to, like, just wreck me. And I said that to Scott. So I didn't think about anything. I wasn't like applying anything. It was just going about my day. And I think it was a Thursday. But I can't remember what it was, but I just was like, you know, like just loving Zen. Like he snuggled with me, stuck his head in my chest, what it was. But there were just these moments. And so I text Scotty. After the fourth or fifth moment today, I realized I felt this deeper appreciation, love, connection with and for Zen. I paused and I asked why. Why today wasn't any different than any other day? Number one, if you practice anything, it will become stronger. Two, watching that show, Denali, and receiving an almost burning confirmation on what is truly, watching that show, and the burning confirmation on what is truly important in life, and one is being present. Because, you know, it's like, you know, again, you're, you know, in Mongolia by yourself, you built a shelter, you got fire going, you're boiling water to drink, and you got a squirrel cooking over the fire. You know, this you learn what's really important. You know, I'm just going to go nature walking. No, I don't have enough calories. I can't do that. I'm going to just, you know, again, like, and then the kind of opposite of that is what you don't need. You know, if you did have food, water, shelter, you had enough. You know, you really don't need a whole bunch of stuff. So again, just watching that show and just being present. Like, it's just so important to be present. And there's another moment. I was like, okay, I'm just having these big moments with Zen. I laughed at Zen. We cuddled. We ran errands like we always do. And once, when I was walking back to the car, I opened the door. And as Zen greeted me, as he always does, with hugs and kisses, this moment hit me. I said, there will be a time when I open up my car door and Zen won't be waiting for me. He won't be waiting there with his smiles, his hugs, and his kisses. But I didn't bum out. It wasn't a sad thing. It was just I walked in, opened up, and I saw him, and I went, wow, I'm like, one day when I walk in, I'm like, that's going to, you know, like, to walk, you know, because he's always with me, 24-7. Like, I don't go anywhere without him. And Zen retweaked his front paw, and, you know, it kind of happened like 2 or 3 times. I'm like, okay, we're wrapping it. We're not running. We're not going on long. I just, like, shut him down as if, because I wanted it to heal. You know, he kept kind of retweaking it. And now, like, the third time, I was like, okay, that's it. And it was exactly like it was the first time when he got hurt 3-4 years ago. When Zen slows down, I slow down. I just, okay, you lay there. Don't go for a walk. Don't play. Don't go to the beach. Don't go to the puppy park. And I'm going to be busy making stuff or doing it. We have, like, you know, kind of 2 areas. The kind of the chill living room area. And then the other side where I stretch, foam roller, we play. And just to go on the other side where Zen's, you know, we're kind of split by the couch. He just can't see me. And he'll come walking around just to be by me. So he wants me to be by him. So I shut down as well. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to, you know, do as much. I'm not going to go. And, you know, that wasn't low tide at the beach for like 2-3 weeks. I was like, perfect. And I'm like, we're just not going to go to any puppy park where the potential play is going to happen. I right away when it happened, I was like, okay, I always took you out of the car. I mean, I always put you in the car and you jumped out. I'm like, okay, no more jumping out of the car. It's just, you know, too high, and to tweak that front paws, you know, the potential for that is way too great. So just kind of going through all these things. And it was basically I slowed down and Zen slowed down. And I paid more attention to Zen. And he was just like these moments with Zen when I'll go, okay, and I'll grab his paw. And I'm like, look, you know, we're not going very far. I didn't let you play. And I want you to know that we're just going to let this heal. And Zen would just lean forward and lick me one time. And it's like, got it. And it is. It's a fact. It's just like, how much, like when he's excited, he wants to show me some love. It's, you know, lick, 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 and he's done. But when he's looking at you, and you're talking to him, you know, 2 inches from his head, and he leans forward and licks you once. Well, you, me. It's like, okay, got it. I understand. Thank you for taking care of me. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's amazing. But I just know it. I just know it. I just know it. I know it. And I said, a net result after almost 2 weeks, a new level of Zen in my relationship. And when I was talking to Scott about that, I said, you know, it wasn't because it was all good. You know, there was that moment where I walked out to the car. And I'm like, you know, what's it going to be like when I walk out to the car and Zen's not there to greet me with all that love, unconditional love? And he's like, oh, my God. You know, he's just, it's like, what's, and I go, but it wasn't bad. And I said, I was probably thinking, and he goes, it was that movie you watched. It made you think about it differently. And I'm like, yeah, I go, I didn't consciously kind of like make that connection, but I get, well, again, you know, Scott, you know, talking about meditating on his dog dying and, you know, me kind of handling the dentist thing and then watching that Denali show and then watching Alone and feeling, you know, the importance of presence and the journey and being in the moment and all that stuff. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, I had this great day. And it wasn't because it was just good, good, good was Zen. I mean, it was good, 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 and this moment of one day he won't be in the car. And then Scott had this great line, when it happens, who are you going to be? Just like that. When it happens, who are you going to be? And again, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, any other time. And when Scott said, hey, watch Denali, I'm like, yeah, I know. I get it. Da, 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 da. But I'm going to be a wreck. I'm going to be a... And I said to Scott, I go, this was like a big challenge, but where I am right now, you know, I didn't think, you know, oh, I didn't write this down. I didn't, you know, plan it. But what popped into my head was, what if I was at peace when Zen passed? I mean, that blows me away that that thought entered my mind. And then, you know, I was sharing it with Scotty, and I said, you know, it's completely, you know, give credit to you, you know, for you sharing how you meditated on that before your dog passed, and then the Denali thing, and how we've been talking about life is suffering, but it's, you know, it's part of it, and it's find meaning to that. And I always say, if, you know, God comes down and says, you know, you get Zen for 12 years, what do you say? Yes. 10 years? Yes. 8 years? Yes. I mean, he's 7 now, so I hope it's not 8. But you know what I mean? It's like, 14 years? Yes. I mean, I wouldn't have said no ever. And you get a dog, and typically you're going to outlast that dog. He's going to be here, he, she, for X amount of time, and then they're going to be gone. And again, that's not a good thing, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. If, again, if, you know, the meaning that you take from it. But to me, it was like, man, the dentist was so horrible for years. 8, 9 years. It was just horrible, the dragon in my life. And then one day I said, well, what if I did ABC? Dragon Slade. And, you know, I was very, very short into Zen when I'm like, wow, I love this dog so much, and I'm in a different place, and I realize one day I won't have him. I was highly aware of that. But I avoided thinking about it, and when I did, it would crush me. So here's a newer, better version. My higher self. Now looking at it. And again, it was just this peaceful thing. I'm not trying to change my perspective. I'm not trying to work on anything, really. But I'm open and aware of me, myself, my thoughts, my words, my actions. And that's what I'm, you know, again, the school of oneself. Studying Tom. And this is a quote I wrote down. The older version of you reacted. The newer version of you chooses how to respond. All right, so here's the last thing. I got a little story. All right, two guys meet at a dog-friendly brewery in Santa Barbara on a Thursday at noon for beer and chips. Now, guy number one didn't have a supportive, unconditional, loving family, parents. Had an abusive father. He was unsure, stressed, and scared most of his life. Guy number two had a loving, supportive family, but became very focused and driven at a very young age. No matter how much harder he worked than everyone else, no matter the success he had added to his accomplishments, he did not feel as good as he thought he should. Guy number two never stopped working on himself, a path of personal growth. He came to the realization that he was fine and could do whatever he wanted when he wanted. And how he ended up at the brewery on a Thursday at noon. Guy number one never stopped working on himself, a path of personal growth. He came to the realization of how blessed he was, how thankful he was, and that he could do whatever he wanted when he wanted to. And that's how he ended up at the brewery on a Thursday at noon. The last note, the guy number one had to drive. It's an hour and a half there and an hour and 50 back. Guy number two lived there. Guy number one could have been different versions. One version could have been, why do I have to drive that far, there and back? Version two, why doesn't guy number two have to drive? Version three looks at it and is thankful that he gets to. You are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You Moment. Stoked you're here. Let's do that thing that we do. Control what we can. Seated, legs crossed if you can. Eyes closed, neutral neck. Shoulders over the hips. Navel tucked into the spine. We will draw the inhale through the nose. We will allow the exhale out the mouth. We will slow both down. We will elongate both. We will stay connected to both. Connecting the mind and body. An excellent way to stay present. If anything else enters that space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this for the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. well done. Bravo. We actually went a little over. We went 4 minutes. Congrats. What I wanted to say was that learning about you can be one of the most rewarding things in the world, but one of the most challenging. I don't think once and again, like I mentioned about high school classes, it's like learning about you isn't anything I even thought about, even after school, after college. You know, I was never in a place where I was stopping, pausing, reflecting, asking why, until this past year, really. I mean, at the level I'm doing it now, I'm actually stopping, pausing. I mean, I would say the spiritual journey at 52 was the big stop and pause for me. But I continue to do that, and that's me. It's like, you know, now I get it. Like, I understand, and I'm doing it, and I'm like, look how long it took you to get here. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I share the messages I share. This ain't easy, it ain't quick, it's not comfortable. And it doesn't seem like it was something that we were supposed to learn. Seem like we were supposed to experience and then learn. But that's life. That's what it is. And what meaning you pull from that. And the moments that you enjoy and the responses that you choose, that will determine your walk, your path, your journey. I just hope people listening, like, it's just a side. Like, you know, he's saying this stuff, keep saying this stuff. I'm just going to try it a little bit. I'm gonna apply it. I'm going to see if I can execute a little pro me. And I would love that if that happened. Peace and God bless.